there's a Savior standing on the way. The wind is tossing and turning the ship, but I decide to get out of it, and what do I see? Could it be I'm standing on the water? Now Jesus smiles and bids me come near, but I say, Lord, there's a storm out there, I may fall. He says, son, don't take your eyes off me, look straight ahead and you'll arrive safely. That I saw me. Would you believe walking on the water?
Walking on the water, what a pleasant surprise.
We're walking right into the extension, second hour extension. I'm not sure if it's going to be 3 hours or not.
Yeah.
But
hey, can we hear the rap version of that last song?
The rap version? No, yeah. I don't have that one, brother.
Here, let me quickly, because a thought occurred to me during the interim regarding a question JT asked earlier, and that was with regard to whether non-whites can be saved. And I certainly am convinced that the Father would not have bothered creating any of these races if that weren't the case, all right? Now, on the other hand, you know, we have white people. It's not good enough to be white to be saved. You know, we're not saying that. You have to be white to be part of the Israelite clan, but you also have to obey God's laws. And if you think that being white is good enough to be saved, you're wrong. That just ain't good enough. You still have to obey God's law, and that applies to everybody as well, okay? So the main thing is for us to come to grips with God's government. Our purpose is to reinstitute God's government on this planet and take it away from the fallen angels who have rebelled against the Father, you know? And that's the essence of that.
No.
So, but now in verse 12, in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, it says this, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." Now, clothed with the sun is obviously clothed with God, you know, the relationship with God. We're talking about the bride of Christ. And the crown of 12 stars are the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? Now, it is our responsibility, it is our function on this planet to do this, to get ourselves in accord with God's will and reestablish his kingdom. Verse 2, "And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." So this is a verification of Genesis 3:15, that the seed of Nahash and the great dragon system, the world empire, the empire of merchants, as described in the book of Revelation, headed by Jewish moneylenders, you know, the control of armies and governments and nations, are out to destroy the child of the woman. That is us.
Yeah,
and
which that's what it goes on and says there, doesn't it? That and they went to make war with the remnant of her seed.
The remnant of her seed. And there's no
testimonies of Yahshua and the law.
That's exactly
right. Why are these antichrists not making war with these Babylonian churches out here today? They're only coming after the Christian identity people.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, that identifies right there.
Yeah. The Judeo-Christian churches have become allied with Satan himself, and they don't know it. They think that they're good Christians. They're actually they're white haters is what they are, and they don't even realize it because they've allied themselves with the satanic church, otherwise known as Judaism, known as Judeo-Christianity, the heresy of heresies, in which the Christ haters themselves, you know, and there's a prophecy that says that, that these Christians will kill the remnant of their seed, thinking that they are doing good, thinking they are doing God's service. That's how deluded these people are. Yeah.
Yes. Well, you know, talking about the spirit, I have a very strong spiritual walk, and I believe that if we will listen, he's talking to us today.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've been in Christian identity since 1952. I was raised in it since I was 4 years old.
Okay, great.
So, but you know, just in the last probably 6 years now, I've got into this spiritual walk. He said, "You must worship me in spirit and in truth."
Yes.
Well, the Christian identity movement worships in truth, but not in spirit, as I see it.
Yeah, okay. I see that, yeah.
And then you got the holiness people that worship in spirit, but not in truth.
Yes, exactly.
So the two have got
the holy rollers,
together.
Yeah.
But, I started going to some of these holiness churches, and I mean, you know, it was a whole new awakening for me. I used to call them holy rollers and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
But, you know, now I see there's something there. And now, you know, since that time, 6 years ago, when I got involved with these people, the Spirit has started revealing things to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just like you mentioned about the not abhor Edomite. Mm-hmm. My spirit says, there's something wrong with this.
That's right.
So I started doing the research, you know. I knew it didn't line up with the rest of the Scripture. It's just like, you know, I always had a problem with the Messiah hanging on the cross saying, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." I thought, this can't be right. It just don't line up with everything else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the original Greek says, Father, forgive them not. Well, they know what they do. I thought, okay, all right, you know, this, yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I'm saying. The Spirit, if we will listen, whether you're hearing a voice out loud or not, I don't hear a voice. You know, it's just something that comes to me,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's like with, I'm in Florida, and I'm down here doing hurricane recovery work. And
you got big business
Dennis,
down there.
Yeah, Hurricane Dennis came through, was coming through, and five of my employees left town. I said, "There ain't nothing to worry about." Well, they took off. But anyway, I stayed here. My mother called and said, "Where's Kim?" My wife said, "He's asleep on the couch right when the storm was hitting." You know, and she said, "I'm sitting here glued to the TV, and he's sleeping." I said, "I told you, there's nothing to worry about. The Spirit identified with me."
Mm-hmm.
But then, when I woke up from the nap, the Spirit spoke to me and said, "The next one is going to be bad." That was Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit also said that this is the beginning of the end.
Okay.
And it's nothing for us to worry about. Not Yahweh's people. The ones that are walking close to Him is like you said. Number one, you have to be an Adamic Israelite, and number two, you have to walk with Yahweh.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, can't be outside of His law, just ignoring what you're supposed to. You're here for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for
yeah.
whom I have foreknown, also have predestinated. So we're here on a journey. We're supposed to be doing something, not just sitting in
right.
front of a booth tube.
Well, yeah, we're supposed to be building the kingdom. And
right.
this is, and I've said very often that the Scripture is not about the gospel of personal salvation. That's a self-help trip. It's actually very selfish in orientation. It's not kingdom building. It actually distracts us from kingdom building, you know. And that's why we're admonished constantly to love one another, to love our brothers, to work with each other. And that's the only way we can build the kingdom. You know, if we're all in our individual, I want to be saved little trip, you know, we're not helping each other. We're being distracted from the true mission. And, you know, the word Babylon, you know, and we're living in mystery Babylon. The word Babylon means confusion.
Yes.
This is a confused world. It's confused racially. It's confused educationally. It's confused morally. We're living in a total massive confusion. And the Scriptures are the only thing that clarifies. It's the only light shining through this confusion. And so, yeah, and I agree with you, Pastor Greg. Our people do need to get more in touch with the Spirit, because the Father is trying to reach us. We're resisting. And we need to open our hearts to His messages for us. And,
right.
And if you have any, if He has spoken to you and given you a word of prophecy, please share it with us if you think it's appropriate.
Well, I got another one just a few days ago that next year the big insurance companies are going to go broke.
I can see that. I can see that with all these claims.
You know.
Yeah.
The Yahweh's hitting them in the pocketbook.
Uh-huh.
Do we have to fear? No. You know, he said, "I have never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread."
Yes, yeah. Well, I know of another story that was, I believe it was located in Mississippi during Hurricane Katrina. One of our people who has the Ten Commandments in Hebrew on his wall. And his was the only house in the neighborhood that survived the hurricane. So here's a Yahweh, you know, believing Christian, Israelites, you know, whom the Father has selected, you know, for salvation.
Right.
And so,
you know,
this is the kind of faith we have to have.
We were having a Passover meeting in Tennessee two or three years ago now. And there was some terrible storms going on. And my wife, she picks up on things real quick. She came to me. She said, "We've got to pray right now."
Yes.
And so all of us started praying. And as soon as we got done praying, I said, "It's fine." I felt the peace.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to be fine. That night, tornadoes hit within 15 miles of us. And then it went on into Kentucky and about wiped London, Kentucky out.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, you know, we have that opportunity, that power, that, you know, my wife, she had a heart attack, July was a year ago. I prayed for her 4 hours on my knee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she's not been to the doctor yet. She had all the problems, 210 over 160 blood pressure, the neck, the arm, the chest squeezing, the whole deal. Next morning, she was back in church.
Well, praise Yahweh. Yeah, this is the kind of faith that our people, you know, we have to get back in touch with our Creator personally.
Right.
And you're absolutely right. It's been too, you know, for most of us, it's been an intellectual debate. And we're not feeling the Spirit. You're absolutely right.
Right. And you know, I'm not trying to elude from this. JT was asking about spiritual things, and that's why, I just felt. But
you know, getting back in touch with God is, it says specifically in the Scriptures, let each man work out his own salvation. Even in the letters to the churches, you know, in the New Testament, he says, but, you know, regardless of anything that I've said about this church, you know, that you're lukewarm or whatever, let each individual who has eyes to see and ears to hear, you know, receive the message. So,
right.
I mean, he obviously, none of us look the same. He obviously is a very personal God. You know, he wants a personal relationship with each one of us.
That's right.
In our heart. You know, and so, and each man seeking out his own salvation has a lot to do with, you know, for him who knows what is right yet does it not, to him it is sin. You know, if my brother doesn't know what is right and he's not doing it, he's not sinning. Because he doesn't know
your brother.
You know, he's covered by the blood.
See,
but
just because
it is, of course, my responsibility, you know, to pull him out of the wreck. But
well, surely.
You know, it's just a real focus on, I mean, that's why the body is in so many pieces right now, is because of so many slants, you know what
right.
I mean?
Right, yeah.
But we gotta continue to see that, you know, a lot of these people out there who are doing the wrong things, you know, they're not necessarily doing the wrong thing if they don't know that they're doing the wrong thing.
Well, they're not going to be judged as, you know, when people do things in ignorance,
right.
That's one thing. When they do it deliberately to hurt others and exploit others, that's something else again. And, you know, that's what we're really fighting against. And hopefully, you know, the ignorance will fall by the wayside as we confront the real evil, you know.
Right.
Yeah, Pastor Greg, I think you were trying to comment there.
Yeah, Yahshua, when they came, said your brother and brothers and sisters and mothers outside want to see you. He said, who is my mother and who is my brother? It's those that do the will of my Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just because they're wearing white skin don't mean that they're your brother.
That's right.
The Moabites and the Ammonites were white people, ancestral children of Lot.
Yes.
Daughters. He said to destroy them off the face of the earth. You know, when Yahshua was walking around, the multitude, 5,000 following, his disciples came and said, why are you speaking in parables? He said, lest they understand and be saved.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for everybody. I'm sorry. You know, the scripture says they are heavenly beings. That's what we are, heavenly beings. And they are earthly beings. And they will never get off this earth. They're bound here. But we will have, you know, people say, how old are you? I have no idea.
you can't be more than 50.
No, I mean, you know, eons. He said that we were with him when he formed the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
He said, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, how old are we? You know, and you are sons of Yah, and Yah's spirit dwells in you.
Yes,
but he didn't
right.
tell that to everybody.
Well, yeah, he said there are certain people that he foreknew that would be bringing about the redemption. And obviously, he can't afford to lose us all, so there are certain ones of us that he figured he could count on and would make sure that weren't getting lost, you know, in the confusion. And
right.
those are referred to as the elect.
Yes.
And it said, were it possible, even the elect would be deceived by the eighth beast and by the current, you know, Babylonian system.
If it were possible, that's the key
word. If it were possible, but apparently, you know, if you believe that scripture, it's not possible.
Right.
So, and other scriptures say that Jacob will not be consumed. The remnant
right.
will be saved out of Israel, yes.
Right, and just a remnant, see. Although we were as the sand of the sea, only a remnant shall be saved.
Right.
And I think that, you know, because you see such a small white increase, that Yahweh has caused that because of the destruction that's coming on this land.
Yes. Yeah. It's definitely coming. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the first show after Hurricane Katrina hits this country, I told Paul, I'm changing my message. I used to say the end is near, but now the end is here. We're definitely witnessing the last days, and it's time for our people to get in tune with their Creator and to start walking the walk. Jesus said, you must walk my way. it's not somebody else's way. It's my way. Jesus Christ's way.
You know, he wouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Except he warned his servants, the prophets. You know, it's like with that Y2K thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's, oh, you better put some stuff up. I said, I ain't putting nothing up. That's a joke. My spirit done told me this is a joke.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I didn't even put up a gallon of water. And that's what I'm talking about, you know?
Well, you did put a fifth of whiskey aside, right? All right, JT, you had a comment?
You know, it was about... what we were just talking about, the remnant. I spaced it off. Forget it.
Oh, okay.
I'll remember it.
Yeah, was it about the remnant only being saved, and is that what you had, yeah. JT?
Yeah. You know, it's the whiskey that threw me off.
Well, the whiskey. Yeah. Well, Pastor Greg made the comment that it's only going to be the remnant, you know, that will be saved, that is chosen. To go through this time. So,
right.
Boy, I sure agree with that, brother.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe something hit JT there a little bit, but he forgot.
Well, you know, the planet will be repopulated after the cleansing, but with the kingdom restored, and all of this confusion finally gotten rid of, you know, and so that if the Father needs more white people, he'll make more. If he needs more black people, he'll make more, you know.
Now, here's the question. How are the meek going to inherit the earth?
Well, the meek are the humble, those who have humbled themselves before Yahweh.
Well, and those are the remnant.
Yeah, that's the remnant. Exactly.
But at the same time, you're saying that we're the battle axe of the Lord.
Well, that's before the judgment day. Let me turn to chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. Because it declares there is a time when all of us have to make our decision which way to go, and there's going to be no time left to decide. You know, we're not going to have time to, you know, go one way or the other. Let me see if I can find it here. Yes, chapter 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. Which means judgment is here. I'm not giving you any more chances. You might as well just continue doing what you're doing because you're not getting any more chances. It's over. And so by the day of judgment, we will have had to make up our minds to be with him or against him. Jesus said, you are either for me or against me. There's no middle ground.
Now, what about the sin? Okay, we're born into sin. We remain sinners as long as we're in flesh. Where's the grace here in between the cross and judgment day?
Yeah. Well, the grace is reserved for those who go into the wedding feast of the Lamb. And that's Matthew chapter 23, I believe, where Jesus said, those who have kept their lamps lit, the wise virgins kept their lamps lit, they kept their faith, they kept their walk with God. And those who lost their faith and lost their walk with God, they are not allowed into the kingdom. Remember, they had to go out and buy oil to relight their lamps. They knocked on the door when they got back. And Jesus says to them, I know ye not.
Yeah.
That's pretty final. So we better start making up our minds
which way
we're going to go.
The oil and the lamp representing the Holy Spirit, correct?
Well, I think it represents the faith of the individual. You know, that certainly the Holy Spirit has a lot to do with that, certainly.
Right.
But if we're not walking his walk, we don't have any oil in our lamps. You know, people claim to have faith and they have very little.
Now, the temple, the bread represented the doctrine, the 12 loaves, the 12 doctrines
right.
in the New Testament. In the left hand of Christ, the right hand, the 12 lamps okay, this is the 12, or the, excuse me, the seven lamps, the seven churches here, and it speaks the spirit of the churches, to the spirit of this church, to the spirit of that church, etc.
Right.
And there's seven spirits that that make up the Holy Spirit, essentially. You know, the spirit of justice, the spirit of this, the spirit of that. And now, I guess if we lose any of those seven principles, is what you're saying, that we've basically, our lamp's gone out.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, the seven angels of Revelation, you're talking about the seven angels and the seven candlesticks.
Right.
Those have a lot more connotation than that. The last candlestick is the Laodicean age, which is now. Yeah, which is now, which is the church of apostasy, the light,
warm,
the lamp grown cold, our hearts grown cold, that's what it's all about. And indeed, you look around the world today, well, what's left of Christianity? You know, they're all teaching false doctrines.
Right.
And, you know, so we can see, you know, that has happened, and we have to keep our lamps lit. And it goes directly back to what Pastor Greg was talking about, we have to rediscover our spirit. But we can't do that, you know, in the dark. That's why we have the Bible. The Bible is here to explain all that to us. And it says, search the scriptures. And unless we enlighten ourselves, all these lazy Christians out there who have Bibles decorating their coffee tables, these Bibles are nothing more than ornaments to them. And yet they claim to be saved because they go to church on Sunday and listen to some preacher who tells them that they're saved. You know, if life were that easy, you know, we'd all be, you know, we'd all be having a great time. But we're not having a great time. We're all in debt. We're suffering. We're disease ridden, and we're still subject to death.
Right.
So we still are facing enormous challenges, and we're not saved yet. That salvation does not come until the wedding feast of the Lamb.
Here's the joke with these churches out here today. They teach us that we're not under Yahweh's law.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's absurd.
And now I ask these preachers, well, what's sin? They say breaking God's law. I'm
we
ain't under it.
Well,
we're not. I said, what's sin? You know, and yet they tell you if you drink a can of beer or smoke a cigarette or don't come to church and pay your tithes, you're going to go to hell.
Yeah, right.
So, but they tell you not under the law, but then they want you to come to the altar and confess your sins.
You don't. We don't want you to bother us.
And don't forget that tithe now.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Don't forget those tithes, the shekels in the basket.
Yeah. You know that gets me too. A lot of people, they'll say, you know, I really, you know, I kind of fail in a lot of areas. I'm, you know, like I like to say of myself, if I was a Jew, my name would be Fleshman. Okay. But you know, the funny thing about a lot of these people is they will slack in every area, but by golly, I always tithe. Because, you know, they want that hundredfold back. This is like as big of a misprayer as you can imagine here. You know, I mean, that's mammon. That's straight up mammon. That's going to the altar and saying, I want mammon. You know.
Well, we're all guilty of overrating our own holiness.
Yep.
And that's the problem. We have to get into the spirit of humility and, you know, ask the Father for forgiveness because I look at it this way, JT. I am nothing but a speck on the planet Earth. Comparing myself to the creator of the universe who has created this vast array of stars and galaxies and planets, what am I compared to that? You know, I mean, you have to come to the realization that, number one, as a child of God, I do have tremendous potential, but that spiritual potential and that physical potential are contained in that germ seed that Yahweh has put into me, and so that's what I'm here to fulfill. And that does not give me the right to claim to be better than anyone else, or lord it over, or that our race should lord it over other races. We're not saying anything like that. We're saying we have to live up to our potential.
Be the light of the world.
Be the light of the world. And then the world will finally be at peace, and the other races will finally understand what the problem has been. Now, we in Christian Identity have a very specific idea of what the problem is. It's the fallen angels trying to breed the other races out of existence through race mixing, you know. And as long as the Jews continue with that agenda, there will be confusion. And race mixing is just one part of the confusion. That's confusion. And
destroys our rights.
Yes, yeah. And so we've been bought into their system, their economic system, their new religion that they call Judeo-Christianity, and all of these wars that they're getting us into, it's because we have failed to obey Yah's law. And if we had kept those people out of our societies, these problems would have never emerged, you know. And I really believe, you know, the Father says that after we failed to exterminate them in the land of Canaan, He said that, since you failed to do it, I'm going to do it myself. And that's what the Judgment Day is all about. So those people who fail to, get in line with Yahweh's will are condemned. And that's all there is to it. And, you know, our Christian people are so good-hearted and so good-natured, they can't conceive of God doing anything like that. But you have to look at it this way. These people have been infesting our nation with all kinds of vice for centuries. And they have shown no inclination whatsoever to change their way.
Right.
And it's about time our people realize that. We have a real problem here.
Right.
And we got to solve the problem. And if we can't solve it, then the Father will solve it for us. And that's what the book of Revelation is telling us. That's what the Ezekiel chapters about the war between Gog and Magog are telling us about, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and that's what Christian identity, has to tell, the people of the white race, hey, this message is for you. Get with it, or you'll be part of the judgment. I'm sure you don't want to be, there'll be a wailing and a gnashing of teeth, is the way Jesus puts it. You don't want to be in that situation where you're so terrified by this coming judgment that you'll be gnashing your teeth in fear. The scripture just says, mountains fall on us and kill us because we don't want to experience what's happening. But, that's what's coming. I've been trying to warn people. That's what's coming. It's getting worse. This is just the beginning.
I want to address something he asked about the meek there. I'm like David in Psalms 137, happy is he that takes those little Edomites and dashes their head against the stone. In Psalms 139, do not I hate them, Yahweh, that hate thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies.
Yeah.
He's talking about these Antichrist Edomites.
Right, right.
But at the same time, I'm a warrior, but I'm also, when I get into the church and I'm, the Spirit's moving with me, I'm on my knees crying like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my hands in the air shouting and crying like a baby, and the Spirit is so overwhelming. That's the two sides of it.
Let me just put it one way, for JT. I've come to see it this way, and I call it the organic model of judgment. And what that means is that our universe has been invaded by a foreign organism, okay, and it has wreaked havoc and caused disease within our universe.
Is this kind of like a Hollywood movie?
Yeah, right. Right.
We couldn't come up with special effects like this.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no way.
Yeah, and what this does, and this is exactly what Scripture tells us, this parasitic infestation makes the body's own cells fight against each other. It dupes them into fighting against each other, and so they can profit and survive off the chaos. That's exactly what the Jews have been doing to our people. Now, what's the solution? Do you try to placate these Jews? Do you try to live with them? As Tom expressed earlier, how can evil coexist with good? How can good coexist with evil on evil's terms? You can't do it. It just can't be done. Those people who absolutely deny Yahweh and absolutely deny Jesus Christ are the Antichrist. And they have sealed their fate, and they will go into oblivion, which is the second death, so as to no longer bother us again. And the universe will finally be restored to its proper condition. So you have to look at it in terms of a disease. We're in the middle of fighting off a disease, and the Jewish people, especially the Talmudic rabbis, with all of the lies and deceptions that they preach, are the main cause of it. And until our people realize that we're in serious trouble, and we have no choice but to get rid of the parasite, the white blood cells, of the body politic are the white people, okay, to carry the analogy a little further. And our people, the white blood cells, have been tricked. You know, there's a disease called candida in which the body's own immune system attacks itself, and AIDS is somewhat similar. But here we have a system in which the human body, riddled by this disease, destroys its own immune system. And so this remnant that we're talking about are those white blood cells that have come out of this disease, strengthened, and able to tell the difference between a white blood cell or a human blood cell and an invader blood cell, you know, or invader organism. And so now we're coming to the awareness of what's really happening on this planet, and it is like a science fiction story. You know, maybe that illustration makes it clearer to people, you know, that this is why God's judgment is coming upon this planet. It's not pretty, and it totally flies in the face of the universalistic teaching that we're all going to be saved no matter how badly we've sinned. The scripture says nothing like that.
No, it says you must be born from above.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is what the Judeo-Christian churches are teaching, that, you don't have to worry. You know, we're all saved. There's nothing like that in Scripture. They're making things up. And so, as you said earlier, Pastor Greg, you know, we come from a spirit of truth. You know, we're living in the truth. We still have to, and, you know, let me put it this way. If I'm in a war, and my job is to kill the enemy, I do my job whether I like it or not. Okay? Because I have to defend my own people. It's just come to the point where I have to defend my own people. And if that means violent bloodshed, well, then so be it. You know, what are we going to do? Stand there and let ourselves be annihilated because the Jews hate us?
Right.
That's exactly what they want us to do.
They're trying to destroy us.
Oh, of course.
Henry Ford, you know, spent $13 million in 1929 on the research of the international Jew. He said they're behind every evil in the world.
Yes,
they're
they are.
They're behind race mixing, behind pornography, behind homosexuality. They promote and push all this garbage on the ABC, NBC, CBS, all of it.
They own those stations.
Oh, yeah, that whole thing's owned by them now.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably always was.
Yeah, and so, you know, we have to look past, you know, we want to be kind and gentle to all people. But, you know, when somebody's coming at you with a sword in his hand, getting ready to stick it in your chest, well, you better defend yourself, you know. And as Jesus said, come and bring them before me and slay them. And even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Peter lopped off the ear of one of the soldiers, he said, he didn't say, put your sword away, I preach nonviolence. He didn't say that. He just said, put your sword back in your sheath. In fact, when he sent the apostles out, He told them, be armed, carry a sword with you.
Right. Well, you know, he was here on a mission anyway. Everything was, it had to be done. You know?
Yes. Yeah. And we have to be warrior priests, and that's the whole story of the new kingdom is that our people, we as individual members of the body politic of the body of Christ, have to be biblically wise. We have to know what Scripture says. We have to know what our mission is and what our role is, and not just be bumps on a logger or butts in pews listening to these preachers who have no idea what they're talking about. We're supposed to embody the Scriptures in our own personal lives, a kingdom of priests.
Right.
That's what the new kingdom is going to be, where we don't have to rely on, you know, some outside authority to tell us how to live or what to believe. We will be the authorities, and if I fall out of line, Pastor Greg, you correct me. If JT falls out of line, we correct him, and vice versa.
Right.
That's the nature of the kingdom. That's what's getting ready to happen. We're going to be our own, you know, where Jesus says, you know, if you get slapped on one cheek, you know, you turn the other cheek. Or how many times should you accept a brother's, sin against you? He says 70 times 70. That's 490. Well, you expect me 490 times to to do that? Well, of course, that's an exaggeration, but that's the spirit in which we have to abide. You know, not a vengeful spirit, but a spirit of righteousness and justice. That's what this is all about.
One key word. Go ahead.
a key word there is brother. If
yes.
your brother, see, everybody running up down the road out here ain't our brother.
That's right.
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 Now, one interjection is, I understand that the ministry of Christ, the actual, you know, period of, there was a 70-week period of time in there where it was the, like the concentrated ministry or the what do you call it, which would be 70 times 7.
Right.
So I don't know, how does this correlate? Do you know anything about that?
Well, that's a specific prophecy of the 490 years. Well, you're talking about Daniel's 70 weeks? 70 weeks of years? Yeah, that would be 490 years.
Well, the ministry of Christ somehow is correlated into that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the specific prophecy is that's when Messiah would come mm-hmm. after this period of 70 weeks. Mm-hmm. And he did, in fact, come exactly right after, in the midst of the 70th week is when he came.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a reference to the first part of his mission. The first part of his mission was to change over from the priestly sacrificial rites, you know, which is the only way that our people could understand the law in those days. Switching over to what I was just talking about, where we become our mutual, critics, teachers, priests. We become priests to each other, and including in that concept is that every man of a household, every father of a household, ministers and teaches his children and his wife. The law, every man of the household is supposed to be an expert on Yahweh's law. And, until we have a civilization based on that concept, you know, we don't know. And Jesus says, you can't imagine the glorious life that is ahead of us. You know, you just can't even imagine how glorious it's going to be until we become like that, you know. Because too many people put their own fate into the hands of some other mortal human being who's a complete idiot, like George Bush, you know. And we have, you know, this politics is a joke. We're putting our fate into the hands of human beings when it should be in Yahweh's hands and no one else's.
He said no stranger should rule over us.
That's right. And that's what we're seeing. That's exactly what you're seeing. Okay, well, Paul, I think I'm about to run out of gas here. I'm starting to get hoarse too. So it's been a great event. Thank you, Pastor Greg, for joining us. And JT, glad to have your input. And I'm always glad to be challenged. With regard to my understanding of Scripture. And as days go by, I understand that more and more of our people are coming to the same understanding that the message to, by, and for Israel, which is contained in the Bible, is something that we have to take very, very seriously. And
I believe we're seeing the scales fall from Israel's eyes. You know, like I said, I've been raised Christian identity all my life, and I've handed out thousands of pieces of literature and saw nothing happen. But now, in the last few years, there's an awakening. I mean, I've got a man right here, which your book, everybody should read that book that I've got a copy of from you.
Yeah, The Great Impersonation. Yeah, thank you.
This guy, I let him borrow it. He's a Catholic. I'd always been talking a lot of Bible to him. And he's now to the point that he's down on the Catholic Church.
Right.
He keeps coming to me every day. And saying we have lunch together and he tells me about stuff in this book and he says, man, this thing is just great. He said, I've got to get a copy of it. I told him, I'll let you borrow it and read this.
Yeah. So. I'm not a very good salesman. I tend not to promote myself or my book enough. So since we're on the subject, let me just quickly mention I am the author. Eli James is the author of the book entitled The Great Impersonation, How the Antichrist Has Deceived the Whole World. And you can get a copy by sending a check or money order for $37 to Post Office Box, well, it's ANP, which stands for American National Publishing, ANP, Post Office Box 41-1373, Chicago, Illinois, 60641. And you can email me at ejecrci@gmail.com. And no longer AOL, I'm through with AOL. And you can email me at ejecrci paul@aol.com. So, Paul, thank you for having this show on again.
Hey, it's been a great program today,
yeah,
Eli. It's been a really good one.
Yeah. And next week, I'm going to be on the road to an identity meeting, and so we may have to play it by ear. If I can do the show, it'll be by cell phone on the road.
Okay.
You know,
so what we're saying, folks, is we're not sure if we're going to do next week or not.
Right. We're not sure.
So.
If we can arrange it, we will. Otherwise, you can rebroadcast today's show.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is worthy of a rebroadcast.
Yes, exactly.
Certainly.
All right. Okay, thank you. Thank you, JT, Pastor Greg, and all the people who called in, and Paul. Yah bless everybody, and see you next time.
Okay, bye-bye.
God bless you.
Pastor Greg, are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Did you want to hold on, or did you want to... We're going to continue on for... another hour or so with JT. So it's up to you if you want to continue in the same vein or say goodbye at this point.
I'll continue.
Okay. Are you fine with that, JT? You want to just continue on?
Absolutely. So is it now Tennessee? Is it? You're from Tennessee?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So it would have been Tennessee whiskey, right? Because they don't have bourbon in Tennessee, right?
Actually been moonshine in Tennessee.
Oh. Okay. Now I'm fine. Now I can remember everything. Okay. Well, this is all, a lot of this is really new to me. Of course, this is going to be new to, you know, probably the majority of the body of Christ. But, you know, I wouldn't, I look at a lot of the ways that God has moved in my life and, you know, I have children from a first marriage. She was an Irish girl. And I'm now married again to a Polish-French girl and have another child. And oddly enough, you know, I had a great affinity when I was young. I grew up with a Mexican family. And the affinity I had toward my first love, you know, for years and years and years and years was a Mexican girl. And I mean, that just didn't work out. You wouldn't imagine. 7 times over 25 years we tried to make the thing work, and it never worked. In between my first marriage and this marriage, I was married again to a second woman, and it was a Mexican girl. Now, you know, she couldn't have children either. So strangely enough, as I'm going through all this, I'm looking at the fact that the only way I've had children, even though I've been married twice, or I should say 3 times, the middle was a farce, though. She robbed me and split. But the only women I've had children with has been white women. So this is kind of an oddity to me. It's almost like, you know, something that's going on, because I certainly could have had a lot more kids out there than I do. You know what I mean? But
I think Yahweh was protecting you from yourself.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and this is really, really an enlightening area. I did some study before in a book. I think it was Good News Magazine. That did some research about how the lost 10 tribes, the quote lost 10 tribes, were, you know, displaced by who was it, the Assyrians or the Persians,
yes.
And they were spread out throughout all Europe, you know, over
right.
the Caucasus Mountains and stuff like this. And this was very interesting to see how they took the prophecies that were given about Ephraim and Manasseh, the split, you know, the sons of Joseph, and the split blessing that was given to them, how these prophecies were fulfilled actually through the United Kingdom and now the United States.
Right.
So, you know, the more and more I'm around this type of stuff, the more interesting it becomes. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, the whole theology has that is very credible. You know, when did you start doing this kind of stuff, Pastor Greg? I mean, you grew up in this identity type of stuff. I understand, since you were 4 years old, and this has always been basically what it's contained is this type of information.
Yes, I was blessed in that respect, because you know so many people have been blind to the truth all their life, and you know, I grew up in, you know, when I was a child, I remember my father cussing those lousy Canaanite Jews. So, you know, it's something that I grew up with. There's a lot of things today that I understand that my father didn't understand, and he's passed away now, but my mother's still alive. But, you know, the scripture says that Israel was blinded to her identity for the most part. So that says not all were blinded.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I feel fortunate in that area that, you know, I know another man in Oxford, he's known his identity since the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
His father knew it. So, anyway, it's just a way of life for me. Everywhere I go, I can go to the store, and I may be gone 2 hours to pick up one thing. My wife knows I'm preaching.
Yep.
I wear the Tetragrammaton and Paleo Hebrew on my chest over my pocket.
YHVH.
Well, I use W, but anyway, and then it says Yahweh underneath, and people say, "What is that?" I say, "It's the name of God." I said, "Lord's not a name, and God's not a name, but He said, 'Whosoever will call on my name.'" So it gives me an opportunity to start witnessing to people, and that's how I got to talk with this Catholic man. And now, I mean, he's really come up, and then he's brought some others into it. I mean, there's so many people that I've run into, and you know, I've traveled all over this United States. I mean, I've been in Idaho and Washington, everywhere, and it's kind of like being an evangelist, and Yahweh has used me in so many areas that I didn't even realize at the time of what was going on. But I look back on it now and see what was happening, that I was actually spreading His word across this nation. And I thought I was going to Idaho for other reasons, you know. But I think that if we let Him guide us, that, you know, we've got a walk, and it's like with Jonah. You know, we told him to go to Nineveh. He said, "I'm not going to Nineveh. We can go the easy way or the hard way." And if we will walk with Yahweh, then He'll make our paths no better. But, you know, Christianity today has no clue, really. Most people are playing church.
Right.
And, you know, like in Matthew 7, chapter 21st verse, excuse me, "Is not everyone who says to me, 'Master, Master,' will enter into the reign of the heavens, but he who is doing the desire of my Father in the heavens. Many shall say to me in that day, 'Master, Master, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name?' And then I shall declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness.'" There's a lot of scripture against the prophets and teachers today. As a matter of fact,
can you hear okay, JT?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Greg. I was talking to JT here. Hang on.
Okay.
Keep going.
Okay. The thing is, these pastors that are leading the sheep astray, their own family will hunt them down in the last days to destroy them for the lies that they've taught them. And, you know, our people, the scripture says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people have believed the lie and are damned. You know, it's just like the song, "Red and Yellow, Black and White, They're All Precious in His Sight." Where's that at in the book? You know? And I'm not saying that we should mistreat other races. I work other races, and I treat them just as good as I treat everybody else. But I don't bring them to my home. I don't take them out to eat with me. I don't let my children marry them, you know. And people say, "Well, we all bleed the same color." I said, "Yes, so is my dog. What's that proof?"
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, you know, look at Matthew 15:24. Here's this woman came out of the land of Canaan, and she wanted him to heal her daughter. And he said, "It's not for me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. He called her a dog to her face. And she said, yes, master, but even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table, because she understood who he was and who we are and who she is, that we are Elohim. We are sons of Yah. Then he healed her daughter. Does that now mean that she can come and participate in any of the promises of our people? No, but they will feed, just like we're the breadbasket of the world. We've got food rocks in the fields. Mm. You know, we have such an abundance that Yahweh blesses us. Look at what just happened in, was it Pakistan? They had the earthquake.
Yep.
I think it's up to 70,000 people dead right now.
Yep.
There's no numbers like that ever happened in America,
mm-hmm.
or in any of the white countries.
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh's merciful to us. He washed 2,000 out in India at the shark bait.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, is it racist? You know, Yahweh's the one doing it. He's the one sending the earthquakes and the typhoons and, mm-hmm. and all these things. And he could wipe out the white people just like he's doing these other races.
No,
but he's not.
How would you evaluate these great what the general populace church is considering revival that's taking place in China and that's taking place throughout India, places like this, you know, where there's obviously these are not white races, but there's a great deal of people coming to an acceptance of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they're turning away from their hedonistic ways, and they're being persecuted, murdered for it. You know, the voice of the martyrs. This whole ministry goes into a lot of that. You know, how would you equate that? You know, are these people being deceived, or why would they be murdered?
Hang on just a minute before you answer, Pastor Greg.
Okay.
Let's take another break.
Okay.
And answer that when we get back. I'm going to just take a few-minute break here at the top of the hour. I believe we're just going to be maybe only about 3 minutes this time.
Okay.
See you back.
I can tell you're a sincere man. And I'm trying my best to understand, but your words are confusing. It seems you're abusing God's word that's there in your hand. Now a Christian you say you are, but that's stretching truth much too far. 'Cause in Christ I doubt you believe, and Jesus is Jehovah to me. Jesus is Jehovah to me. He's Lord and
we both have said the Lord's coming back, and you've more than once stated that fact. Now it seems rather odd if your prophet's God, your dates have been so far off the track.
Now the watchtower can only deceive, but from Jesus you can receive. God's Spirit comes in, and you're born again.
In case anybody didn't figure that one out, that's a song sung to Jehovah's Witnesses. And JT used to be one of those long time back.
Yep.
Until God opened up his eyes. And so that was dedicated to JT there. So,
thank you. Thank
anyway, we're into, I'm not sure what we're into here. We're either into the third hour of Judgment Day Perspectives or we're into the second hour of JT's program. This is the, normally would be the second hour of JT's program, which was, supposed to debut today. We kind of like blended this thing all into one today. That's okay. We just go where the direction is. And, online we have, Pastor, Ken Gregg from Tennessee. And, it is November the 6th, 2005 on Remnant Radio Network. remnantradio.org, and we will be archiving this. JT, do you have a name for your program that you'll be doing regularly with us?
From the Hip.
From the Hip. Okay, so this could be entitled Second Hour of From the Hip. All right, Pastor Ken, I believe we left off with a question to you. And so now it's back. We're going to turn the mic back over to you.
Okay. In Matthew 10, in verse 5, Joshua sent these 12 out, having commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the heathen, and do not enter into the city of Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So, you know, he's telling us who to go to. You know, we're not supposed to be going to these other countries. As a matter of fact, where it says, get the verse, where it says going to Asia, look it up. That word wasn't even there. That's the problem with the King James Bible and several of them. I use the scriptures translated out of South Africa because it has tetragrammaton. But even it follows the same lies that the King James does in a lot of areas. But look at the Chinese. They plan to overrun our country. They hate us. All these foreign people hate us. And you know, you ask, what about them, you know, accepting Christianity? A lot of times it's monkey see, monkey do. And I know that's kind of, you know, a hard term, but look at Africa. They still have cannibalism, you know. Look at Zimbabwe. After the white man's gone, they revert back to cannibalism. So, you know, you can teach them all these things. You can teach a chipmunk how to do all kinds of things, but that don't make him a son of Yahweh. So, all through the scripture, it's always to Israel, for Israel, about Israel. It's to the Joneses. The Smiths have nothing to do with it. So, you know, when he says, whosoever will can come and be saved, who was it written to? The Adamic race. So whosoever will in the Adamic race, the house of, well, tribe of Jacob, Israel, that's who he's talking to.
Now,
wait a minute, JT. We have a caller on the line. Caller?
Yes, this is Gary in San Diego.
Oh, okay. Hang on just a minute, Gary. Let JT finish and then come on in, okay?
Sure.
All right. Go ahead,
now,
JT.
On that line, you know, it does say every tongue, every tribe, every nation. Now, if we're talking about the sons of Israel here, okay, obviously, okay, Abraham was pre-Israel. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
But Abraham is counted righteous for faith. Isaac, you know what I'm saying? His family, you know, I mean, there's bound to be some exceptions here, you know, because this is, you know, the lineage of Abraham. Abraham's the one that the covenant was made with.
No, I don't want to get to think so we get that book.
I'm sorry? Hello?
Yes?
I'm sorry.
I was talking to my wife.
Oh, okay. And in Revelation, we go into the every tongue, every tribe, every nation. Why, you know, I mean, that's pretty broad. You know, go ye into all this. I mean, in Matthew, he does speak to his 12 disciples not to go into these specific lands, you know,
right.
But at the same time, you've got, you know, him appearing personally to Paul, and Paul is floating around, you know, I don't know how many of the same places he went as the 12 disciples or not, but it says, you know, is this translated, go ye into the entire earth, you know?
Oh, it's saying, he said, go to the 12 tribes scattered abroad.
To like, the 12 disciples, he said, correct. Now, to Paul, whom he appeared personally to, I mean, is this the same mission that Paul had? I don't think the same places that Paul went was the same places that necessarily the 12 were limited to, you know?
Well, you know, I believe that if I have a mission to go to Africa,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be some white people there
mm-hmm.
that we're the witness to.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean we witness to all these other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Eli quoted earlier, James 1:1, to the 12 tribes who are scattered abroad, greetings.
Now, here's another question as far as that's concerned. What was it, Philip on the road? You know, he hooks up with an Ethiopian eunuch, and he preaches to him. They pull over on the side of the road, and I mean, this guy's Ethiopian. He's blacker than shoe polish, and he baptizes him. This is one of the 12 disciples, is it not?
No, if you look up that word, Ethiopian, it's a Cushite, a descendant of Ham, of Noah, of Adam.
Which would
the
have
same thing with,
been
with,
Egyptian.
Do what?
Right. Which would have been Egyptian, according to Eli just an hour ago. The descendants of Ham being Egyptian? Is this correct?
Yes.
Because the Abraham's handmaiden was Egyptian as well, so this was considered still all part of the family.
Well, you know, it's like with Moses' wife, says was an Ethiopian. Well, my King James Bible has a footnote, says, or Cushite.
Mm-hmm.
So if you trace her lineage back, she's a descendant of Cush, of Ham, of Noah, of Adam.
Okay.
So it's just like if all there was living in Knoxville was black people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a Knoxvillian.
Right.
And I'm not black.
Right.
So, you know, that's all he's talking about.
So the key is as long as the descendants are those of Noah rather than those who are remaining outside of the area of the local flood, basically this is who we want to stay with as far as preaching to, is any descendants of Noah.
Yes. Well, I mean, yes, because I mean they're Adamic people.
Right. Now, are these the only Adamites that were left during that time of the flood? I mean, the theory is there's still, you know, the Mayans and the Aborigines and all these people were actually here still during the local flood area of the region, which translated as just the region. So you've got Noah and his family, but you've still got all these other tribes around the earth. So
well, Cain, there was the lineage of Cain, of course, but Cain, in a strict sense, is not an Adamite.
Well, there were other Adamites around. I mean, look at Abraham's wife, Keturah. He had children by her. He had children by Hagar, but they weren't the children of promise through Isaac, so the seed be called.
I wanted to, this is curious, San Diego. You know, when we're talking about nations, if you go into the scriptures when it talks about nations, you know, it says the nations come out of Sarah, okay? Many nations would come out of her. And we know only one kind of nation that came out of her. Of course, again, you go to Esau. He's a nation, but he certainly is against Israel. Okay? And then when you guys talk about the woman, I wanted to say this last time, when you guys were talking about the woman with the 12 stars, and she was chased into the wilderness, she stood on the moon. The moon represents the ordinances or the laws, and that's in the Bible. I can't tell you which, where it's at right now, but it talks about the moon and what it represents. So who stands on the laws? So any of these things that we're talking about that would be, we can do this or we can do that. No, only Israel stands on the laws where it says you are forbidden from doing certain things outside of this realm. So we have to stand on the laws. And there was something else I was going to say, but I have to wait till it comes to my memory. Oh, and it also states in the Bible, we were talking about other brothers other than Israel, it says that Japheth may dwell in the tents of Shem. Okay, who come from Shem? Israel did.
Right.
It comes out of Shem. So we would have Japhethites being able, or Adamites from that perspective, coming in. When you get into Africa, at the time that the Bible was talking about what we call Africa today, it was called Ethiopia. The whole continent was Ethiopia. Okay, so you could be a Cushite out of Ethiopia, is the brother from Louisiana there stated, Pastor Greg. And
Tennessee.
You could be Cushite. Of course, the Cushites, of course, were in charge of Egypt at the time, or around in that time. But also, we had the Assyrians come down in there, and they were attacking. Okay, so I need some comment.
You know, I'm constantly during a lot of this, you know, thinking of, because there's, you know, the major issue is lineage, you know, whether you want to call it race or what. You know, Jesus spoke of the olive tree and the wild branch being grafted in. Now, if, I mean, who's he speaking to here? You know, who's the wild branch? I mean, who's being grafted in here? Who's allowed, you know, salvation? I mean, if the word's to go out through all the lands, you know, and so that people can come to know Christ, why would you hinder yourself from preaching to anyone because of their ethnicity?
Okay, we've got to be very careful here that we don't get into I can't think of that word, but we get into confusion. For instance, you made a statement here that we have a tree that's, I guess it's a team tree called an olive tree,
right.
But it's allowing now to reach out and collect wild olive tree branches, okay, to plug into the tree. Nowhere
olive tree.
Nowhere in there does it say I'm going to reach out and get wild orange tree branches and stick it
right
in here, or I'm going to reach out and get wild peach tree branches and stick it in here. There was all olives, so it has to be the same. It has to be
right
consistent. They're olives, all right? So to go to other trees, he didn't. He stuck to one tree. So obviously, when we talk about race, okay, Israel is called two. They're either called olives, okay, or they're called grapes or vineyard. Now we also, the other two tribes, the southern tribes we refer to sometimes as figs, but it never said to go collect any wild fig branches because there was no fig supposedly cut off and, you know, and divorced. Only Israel was divorced, so that would make them estranged. And at this time, it would make him wild in the things that you were just speaking of. But he's going out after those of the same kind, same, you know, kindred. He's not going out after peach trees.
Right.
Got it.
You know, Judah, the two southern tribes, never lost anything. They weren't divorced. They had the scepter. They were the elite, you know.
Now, this is what the brother was referring to as the figs here.
Well, you know, I still see them as olives, the olive tree, but the grafting in was the 10 northern tribes who Yahweh divorced in Jeremiah 3rd chapter and cast them away. You know, Peter's vision had nothing to do with eating filthy animals.
Mm-hmm.
you know, he had been told to go see Cornelius, who was an Israelite. Peter was of the tribe of Judea, of the two southern tribes. And he, being a Judean, had no fellowship with the Israelites. They called them common, unclean, uncircumcised. They wouldn't have any fellowship with them, wouldn't eat with them or nothing. So Yahweh told him to go see Cornelius. He went in that upper room. He fell into this trance, and this, the vision of the sheet came down in front of him with all manner of beasts on it. And the voice said, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. Did he rise, kill, and eat? He said, nay, Yahweh, nothing unclean has ever touched my lips. The sheet went back up. This happened three times.
I just want to ask one question here that maybe you can help us with. Seeing how you've been a pastor for 1,000 years. In Hebrews chapter 13, I think it is verse 8, it states, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? Now, Jesus, we know, is the God of the Old Testament. Now, if people are going to do what some of this conversation is trying to correct, lead us astray. In other words, say, well, this means this and this means that, and it's contrary to the Old Testament. Then would it not make 13:8 of Hebrews a lie? Would it not mean that Jesus was lying, that he isn't the same yesterday, today, and forever? Or that's what I'm looking at is, Pastor, if we're going to change it, wouldn't that make that verse a lie?
Yes. And to continue with where I was going with this story, you know, Peter, with the vision, he was sitting here pondering on what could this vision mean. In other words, he knew it had nothing to do with eating unclean animals. While he was sitting here pondering on what this vision means, there was a knock on the door, and this man had come to take him to see Cornelius. And it goes on, and he's saying, don't you call anything common or unclean that I have cleansed. In other words, don't you call Cornelius common and unclean anymore. I've brought him back. I've grafted him back into the olive tree.
Now, that's
he's
because he's an
Adam,
correct?
Right.
Because he's actually one of the olives.
Right, and one of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right.
So,
well, can I give a scenario out of the scriptures that's in John that supports what the pastor's just saying? I heard earlier in the program we were talking about a woman who was a Canaanite who was on the road, and she came up to Yeshua, and she did all kinds of begging, and even say she worshipped him, and she did this and that, asking for a blessing, and he called her a dog. Okay, and she didn't get the blessing after she recognized that she only gets crumbs from the table. She cannot come into full salvation,
right,
or she can't come into redemption. Now, so he did bless her. Versus, okay, there's another woman in Luke that was in the house, okay, that the same exact thing happened to her. She was a Sophonician. Okay, so we have a Canaanite and a Sophonician. Sophonician meaning mixed breed. So the Phoenicians were white, and so, of course, would be your dark races. Now, so we have these two women versus the woman at the well and John, where Yeshua goes up to her, and he talks to her. He reaches out to her. She's not necessarily treating him too well. She's saying, you know, you guys come over here. What are you talking to me for? Who are you? You know, you treat us like dirt. I'm a Samaritan woman. That's what she states. That's what the scriptures call her, Samaritan woman. Okay?
Yeah.
But he's reaching out to her.
Right.
You know, if you read, he's reaching out to her. But there's one thing that lets you know exactly who she is. When you
right.
mention names of people, like Ruth was a Moabite, okay, now we have this woman who is called a Samaritan. All right, but there's one thing that she said that identifies who she is. She says,
Our father Jacob.
Bingo, Israelite woman at the well.
Right.
Look at the difference between how he treated her versus the other two women.
Right.
Number
one. He told his disciples, don't go to the Samaritans.
Yep.
And there he was talking to a woman of Samaria. But she was an Israelite. She lived there, but she was an Israelite.
Amen.
So, and that, you know,
here's the thing. Deuteronomy 7, verse 1. When Yahweh your Elohim brings you into the land which you go to possess, he shall also clear away many nations before you, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when Yahweh your Elohim gives them over to you, you shall smite them, put them under the ban completely, make no covenant with them, show them no favor, do not intermarry with them, you do not give your daughter to his son, you do not take his son for your daughter, for he turned your sons away from following me to serve other mighty ones. Then the displeasure of Yahweh shall burn against you and promptly destroy you. But this is what you do with them. You break down their altars, you smash their pillars, you cut down their Asherim, and you burn their carved images with fire. For you are a set-apart people to Yahweh your Elohim. Yahweh your Elohim has chosen you to be a people for himself, a treasured possession above all people on the face of the earth.
Well, Pastor, the reason that I brought up the woman at the well was because you brought up Cornelius. He was a Roman, all right, and you were stating how he was brought to Peter, and Peter was saying what he was saying, and then you stated the Lord, what he did, Yeshua, showing that this guy was an Israelite, even though he was a Roman.
Right.
He was a Roman, but he was an Israelite.
Right.
Okay, this woman was a Samaritan, but she was an Israelite.
Right.
And this is... But then you go back to, I heard, what's it, JT, is that the name, JT?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
JT earlier asked, you know, a question of Paul, and I think maybe the pastor, Greg, was on there at the time, I'm not sure, it might have been just a little before him, that you have the Jews and the Gentiles, okay? The Jews being, Gentiles being non-Jews, and of course the Jews being, that's who Jesus came for, or Yeshua. But the problem I have with that particular scenario is we're not saying the whole phrase there. The whole phrase is he came for the Jews, the Greeks, and the Gentiles. Who are the Greeks? You see, if we're going to say the Gentiles are non-Jews, are Greeks non-Jews too? But you see, it says Jews, Greeks, and Gentiles. Why did the Greeks get a special little gap here?
Well, it's still the same.
Huh?
Still the same thing. He's still talking to the dispersed of Israel.
That's right. In other words, out of the Jews you're going to get Israelites, out of the Greeks you're going to get Israelites, and out of the nations, what they called Gentiles, which means nations, you're going to get Israelites or Adamites.
Well, where it says to the Jew first and then also the Greek.
Yes.
It actually should be translating to the Judean first and also to the Israelite.
That's it.
Well, now in those days, the Jew and the Greek was the Greeks were a lot of proselytes. So I mean, the temple was, you know, the outer court was flooded with a lot of Greeks. So, you know, and they had a lot of controversy with letting them in or you know how far they could go, or whether they could be saved or whatever the case may be. But all these proselytes were all over the place. So I think he's probably referring to that. You know that. Look, this settles the case, you know, that it's for the Jew and the Greek and the nations, you know. But I'm hearing what the brother's saying there about, you know, why do they get this special plug? I mean, is there more to the whole thing? But according to the last couple of guys, this is all the same thing. So.
Hey. You see, the reason I bring up the Greeks is to show that wouldn't the Greeks be a Gentile nation if we're going to use the word Gentile? You know, the Gentile in its proper translation means nations. You know, because if you look at ancient history, Rome was built from Greece.
Right.
You know, and then Greece was built from a couple of tribes of Israel, got Greece, and then from there we got Rome. And that had some other Adamite nations along with a couple of the tribes of Israel, some of the people, and then you got Rome. So they're all still the same people, but it didn't say, you know, and Rome was considered a nation, but then we have a letter in the New Scriptures to the Romans, and it says, and it tells you who the adoption pertains to there in Romans. You know, it says the adoption pertains to Israel.
Right.
I'm paraphrasing. So we have a lot of stuff that supports Israel or Adamites, all right? And then, of course, everybody wants to make sure that we get the blacks saved and the Orientals saved and the mixed breed saved. Everybody's so concerned about them, and they're ready to dump on, you know, our own people. We've got a lot of Adamites out there ready to kill other Adamites just to save the other race. I don't understand that type of activity. I have a little bit of an understanding to it, but I'm one of those type of people. I want to save my own people. That's what I'm into. And the scriptures tell me to be concerned about that. I've heard Brother Greg in this a couple hours now, he states the same thing. Okay, and I know Brother Eli does the same thing. We're interested in saving our people, opening our people's eyes. So we say, hey, wait a minute. You know, if we're not around, everything means nothing because it all goes in a trash can.
Well, you know, what's happened, we've got this humanistic doctrine that has flooded our nation, and our people, even some in the Christian Identity Movement, are still carrying this baggage. And, you know, in Numbers, it says, if the stranger comes near to come into the temple, you kill him. You know, he said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's saying if they even try to come in the temple, you kill them. And then it says, no bastard shall enter the congregation, even to their 10th generation, they can't come in.
Deuteronomy
and a Moabite and an Ammonite can't come in forever. And Moabites and Ammonites were white people.
Now, those were the sons of Lot's daughter,
right,
whom he himself was their father. So,
right.
Yeah, his two daughters, one was Ammon and one was Moab.
Right.
Now, there's a big spiritual lesson to be learned through that, you know, the whole Sodom and Gomorrah thing. It ultimately boils down to listening to the voice of God immediately, obedience, because the only reason why his wife was able to turn around and see the city is because they hadn't made it over the mountain range yet. If they had left when they were told to leave the first day, the first time, they would have had 2 extra days worth of travel. It took 3 days for those angels to convince them to leave, and they didn't make it over the mountain range, and she was able to look back.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only thing I see. And eventually, because of that disobedience, what happened is he shacked up in the hills, and his two daughters got him drunk or poisoned him with, you know, whatever, and ended up with these two nations. But
and Yahweh said to destroy those two nations.
You know, this is,
we didn't do it.
This is an odd thing, because I mean, early on, I mean, obviously, you know, when our gene pool was really, really healthy, we were able to have children with our sisters, you know, because there was no other women around. You know, I mean, when there's, you know, when there's Abel, Cain, and Abel, and Seth, and I mean, there's only so many people out here. You know what I mean?
But Sarah was Abraham's
half-sister, yeah. And so, I mean, you know, obviously our gene pool is too weak to do that now. It's evidence. It would seem to imply that when you incorporate, now you can say, you know, the nations of Israel, you know, when you incorporate these nations, if you, like a French man marries an Italian woman, okay, you've got a healthy baby. But if you get a French man and his French sister, then you're going to have a reject here, you know, because it's too close. You know, the pool is not, the genetics are washed out. You know, it's like taking Kool-Aid and dividing it into 12 cups and then making 12 new gallons. There's just not enough strength in there to have any kind of healthy, you know, children.
Well, you know, the thing is, Yahweh doesn't change. The problem that I see is that everybody, you know, we're a compassionate people, and we don't want to do anything bad to anybody, and we feel like, well, you know,
why shouldn't they be able to come into our country? Well, we let them into our land, and then what happened? We started taking up their heathen practices. You know, now we're celebrating Halloween and Easter and Christmas and all the rest of these pagan holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, well, they're so innocent, it's cute, and there's nothing wrong with giving gifts to everybody. And,
mm-hmm.
And he said, come out from amongst them and be ye separate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a man in Knoxville one time said, told a friend of mine that I was a strange bird. I said, hallelujah.
Right.
I'm glad that he recognized that I'm a peculiar person.
Amen.
You know, if I was like everybody else, I'm not doing something right.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what we need to be. And people ask me all the time, well, how can you be right and the whole world be wrong? I said, well, the whole world doesn't believe what you're believing. You know, there's a lot more people out here that believe what I'm preaching than you realize. Just because these Antichrists, I don't like calling them Jews because they are not, but they're the synagogue of Satan, they have held us in a position that we can't get the truth out because they own everything. And that's why they fought so hard against the Internet, trying to get control over it, because since it got out here, man, it is just mushroomed, and they can't control it. So, but, you know, it's a matter of time till they try to buy out this station so they can stop the truth from being spread.
That's what they do, but because they own all the money. But there's one thing I was going to mention in the Word. First of all, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it does say you are to separate yourself from them. If you mingle with them, you'll take up their gods. If you give your daughters and you give your sons, you know, they talks about the exchange. It says you're to separate. You're not to be with them.
Right.
Okay? And when you talk about the Antichrist or the Jews, what's absolutely amazing, I've had this experience. I went into a small church. They say they believe in the Bible. They go through that whole stuff. They go through Bible studies. You come on this night, it's all Bible studies. And so the associate pastor was sitting here as we're talking. You know, he's got a bald head along the side, you know, with dark hair and what have you. And I'm looking at him, and I can recognize what he is. And so I start asking a few questions about, you know, what you can allow in the church. Does this church follow the laws of God? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Until I start hitting on some stuff, then it's, you know, a lot of the law has been done away with. So I says, well, how about the law in the New Testament? And, well, yes, we follow the New Testament to the T. Okay, and I says, because if you go to Malachi, I says, Malachi 1 talks about Esau. And he says, Esau hate forever. And I says, of course, in Romans, I think it's chapter 13 or chapter 9, 1 or 2, yeah, Paul says the same thing. Esau, yeah, he hates forever.
Yeah, Romans 9:13. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated.
Okay, it's Romans 9.
We're talking.
Okay, so now we've got a hate going on in the New Testament. So they're sitting there listening to me, and then I went, and this other one, the associate pastor, you know, he's really, you can see his eyes spinning a little bit, and then because I look at him and nothing is said. Okay, so then I said, we go to 1 John. And 2 John, and I says, and it describes to you the Antichrist. You don't have to wait for any Antichrist. He's already here. I says, because it says so. And John, anybody that does not believe that Jesus Christ and the King James came in the flesh is the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Plural. And both of them. I said, that's pretty plain. I mean, that's scripture right there. And, of course, then this associate pastor jumps up, I'm Jewish, and I'm going to tell you, they have a special way to talk to God other than Jesus. I said, other than Jesus? Well, they get to talk to him because they're God's chosen people. I said, that's what you said. That's not what the scripture said. Well, right after I said that, they escorted me to the door and kicked me out and told me not to come back. I'm an anti-Semite, and I don't know the scriptures, and don't call myself a Christian.
Yeah,
the reason I'm bringing that up is because Brother Greg just said the same thing that happened to him.
You know, I have a question now. How can, okay, God, now, he tells the Israelites to stay separated so that you don't take up their gods. Now, basically what the contemporary church is doing is these nations from the world, okay, and this is what is understood as Christianity today, they preach the word, and if they change their God to the Christian God, or if they accept Jesus Christ, then this is an okay thing. This is a new family that's created here. This is the grafting in. What's your take on this again? You know, that we're to go out and preach this to our own, you know, the Israelites, but at the same time, God himself, who was the same yesterday, today, forever, is saying to stay away from these people for the sake of their gods. Now, if these people, we're not necessarily going to them, but they're coming to the light, as the scripture says, and they're literally, you know, worshiping God, then, you know, what now, are these just Adamite nations that are going to do this? It's an impossibility for, because, I mean, every single nation in the world currently today has people who are professing, you know, to be Christian from their heart. Whether they're being taught right or wrong, I don't know, but if God is going to judge the heart, then you know, what is going to keep these people out of heaven? Are there people on earth that cannot be saved, is my question.
Well, when that question when the question was posed to Yahshua Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. It actually says you must be born from above. And it's like I said earlier, we are heavenly beings. We are born from above. These earthly beings are not in the same family with us. We are Elohim. We are gods, in other words. And his spirit dwells in us. They are not sons of Yahweh. They're created by him, but they're not his sons. So they have no part in any of the promises, salvation, or anything that has been promised to Israel. Just like, you know, Romans 9 and Romans 11. So, you know, in Ezra, it talks about when they were rebuilding the temple, that these other men came and wanted to help in rebuilding the temple, and they told them, no, you have nothing to do with us or with our Yahweh.
That's right.
No. So, I mean, it's a very racial book all the way through. Even the Jews, Antichrist, call the book, the Bible, a racist book. And they say that it should be burned. They say that all Christian books, such as the Bible, should be burned.
So explain to anyone listening who are basically these. How do you distinguish who are those to be saved and who you take the gospel to and who you don't?
Well, number one, you sow the seed. Some's going to come up, some's not. You don't know when you talk to white people whether they're Israelite or a Moabite. Let's say. If they accept this message, then evidently they're an Israelite. Mm-hmm. If they reject the message, evidently they're not an Israelite.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I understand it. I mean, he said to sow the seed, some's going to come up and some's not. But he said not to mistreat blind people. So, you know, I've been talking to people and reading to them out of the Bible, reading just exactly what it says. And they say, well, you're taking that out of context. I just close the book and say, you're probably right. You reckon it's going to rain today? Because, you know, apparently it's not for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
Brother, I've done that before. I've read to somebody right out of the Bible, verbatim. Here's what it says. And they're saying, you're taking it out of context. I says, I'm taking it out of context. I says, I'm just reading to you exactly what it says. I'm not doing anything. God is taking his own word out of context because that's what it says. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
You know,
here's the thing.
And I've had people come up to me and say, well, you know, when you're talking about the other races, we're all red blood. We bleed red blood. I says, so does my dog.
Right.
You know, if I cut my dog, he bleeds red blood. You see, does Savior want to commit sin? In other words, if he has a multicultural church versus what he originally had, then he is violating his own word. Because now he has a mixed breed church, meaning Deuteronomy 23:2, where he states a pastor shall not enter into the congregation even till his tenth generation, he shall not enter. We have a problem here, because now if we're going to allow it to start happening in the New Testament with Yeshua, then Deuteronomy 23:2 is a lie, or somebody was drunk when they wrote that, because it said that you shall not mix race mix. So now his bride is a mongrel, because you got blacks, Orientals, and all these into his church as his bride.
Yeah.
What do you have? You have a mongrelized woman.
Yeah.
She is now brown. She is not. She does not match the Savior. And in what you're doing at the same time is you're violating the law set forth in Deuteronomy 23:2. So the bride would have to be exactly look like him. It can't look like, you know, anything you want out there. The law of God was made for everybody. I mean, everything has a law. You know, if you jump off of a building, you're not going to change the law of gravity. It's going to stay the same. You're going to go down until you hit the bottom.
Right.
See, the law is the same. Now, and everybody has to follow along. If you want prosperity, this is what you have to do. And that has absolutely nothing to do with redemption, which has to do with the bride of Christ. He came to redeem his bride. Not somebody else's bride, or any of these loose women running around out here. He came for his bride, and that was it. And he does not, in the scriptures, say that my wife will be mongrelized. He does not say that. He does not say my new bride is going to be a mamzer.
Right.
That's Hebrew for a bastard or mongrel. Doesn't say that. He says, my wife is going to be pure. It's my blood that's going to purify her veins. My blood. You know, and my blood is pure. And it says he was pure. These people will say that Ruth was a Moabite, you know, and he came out of that lineage, and the woman in Jericho, that one harlot, you know, they were other races, and so God had impure blood in his veins, and there was sin in his, you know, in his lineage. So in other words, why did he do that? Show how he forgives. In other words, he runs out and sins on purpose so he can forgive himself? I don't think so. See, so there's a lot of false teaching coming out of these dens of iniquity out here. Again,
well,
we don't have Jesus being born in sin. He was born pure, so everybody in his lineage would have to be pure. Number two, his bride is not a mamzer. Okay.
Well, you know, you can trace Joshua's lineage all the way back to David, back to Abraham, back to Adam. And also, Yahweh promised David that he would always have his family sit on the throne. And in Westminster Abbey, they have Queen Elizabeth's lineage on the wall. She's a direct descendant of David. And she's a white woman. You know, so, I mean, Yahweh's not changed anything. I mean, he's not gone to another people. And we're not supposed to go to another people. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I don't know what better way to answer the question of who are we supposed to go to except the white races. Now, if I'm invited to go to a church to preach, And they've got mixed races in there, you know, I'm going to let them have it. You know, I'm going to tell them exactly what the scripture says, that these people have no part with Israel. This book is a white man's book, and no other race has anything to do with what this book has to say. And, you know, I mean, look at that Joshua and Moses, Caleb, all those guys, Yahweh told them, go into these cities and kill everything. Take their cities away from them. I mean, this is a God of love.
Yeah, he loves his people, but he hates these heathens, and he's given us what is they had. You know, it's like the walls of Jericho. I ask people all the time, are you familiar with that story? Oh, yes. And I say, well, what happened? You know, they went out one time around the first day and each day, and then seven times the seventh day, and then, you know, the walls fell. I said, what happened then? And they just look at me. I said, your preacher didn't tell you the rest of the story? I said, Yahweh said to go in and kill everything that breathes. Man, woman, child, ox, ass, young, old. Kill them all. God of love? Yes, he loves Israel. You know.
Except for the one Israelite in there. The Israelite woman is the only one they didn't kill.
Right. Yeah, I mean, but, you know, I mean, why didn't he tell them to go in there and try to convert these people? You know? I mean,
bring them to Jesus.
Yeah.
When it states in one of the scriptures there in the Old Testament, when Saul was ordered to go into this land, it says that you were to kill the men, the women, the children, and the sucklings. Wait a minute. Somebody must have mistranslated the scriptures here, because it should be to go in there and kill those men and women that don't want to follow Jesus, okay, and then bring the children and the sucklings up in the way of Jesus. Wait a minute. That's not what it says, though. It said to kill them.
Right.
You see? So why aren't we going in there and saying, oh, these little children, these people, we can just introduce them into the scriptures. You go into Ezra. What does Ezra say? Ezra says that the men were to put aside those wives and that was born of them. It didn't say bring those children in the way, bring them up in the way of Jesus. It
said
put them aside.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier, that he said to put the strange wives and the children away and let it be done according to the law. And the law is Deuteronomy 7, which I just read earlier about. You completely destroy them, and you make no covenants with them. You put a ban on them.
Now, I have a question. The Bible says that those who live by the law will be beheld by the law, and those who live by the Spirit will by the Spirit. Now, all of this information, you know, primarily is all Old Testament. A lot of this that we're going through, you know, about Cain and, you know, the Adamites, the Noah's people, and, you know, et cetera. Now, this is the law generally as conceived by, you know, Christianity. The Old Testament is the law, and the New Testament is the new law, basically the law of the Spirit, being born again of the Spirit. Otherwise, you know, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. So this is where the temple went from, you know, the way they did it in the Old Testament, to the temple now being us, you know, the temple of the Holy Spirit, whereas it used to be the tabernacle in the wilderness, or, you know, the temple, Solomon's temple, Herod's temple, whatever. But how can we, you know, take all this information in the Old Testament, and as it's a reflection of the New Testament, look at it in a spiritual sense? I mean, this is where I think more concentration needs to be put, because if you're still, you know, in that area of the letter of the law, you know, you're going to be held to that letter. And I mean, the Bible says that none are righteous. None. I mean, that includes. It doesn't say anything about anyone. It says none. Okay, and that means the entire world from A to Z. You know,
but we're supposed to strive to be perfect.
Indeed, yes, or mature, as the translation would be, as God is mature. However, you know, there's so much indication here that you know, there's going to be a separation with the sword. I mean, he came to bring a sword to separate fathers from sons, mothers from daughters, brother from brother. However, the indication is so much in the Bible that he came to save the world. I mean, the whole world. He doesn't distinguish between, you know, the Israelite or those who are, you know, the descendants of Samyaza or whatever.
Yeah, but see, the one thing that you take the word world comes from the word cosmos, which means order, which has been mistranslated in the King James Bible. Okay, there's one thing that has to be talked about. What did it say in 2:38 of Acts? Repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Repent from what? You see, if you don't have laws, then you haven't broken anything. Okay, what does it say in 5:18? Heaven and earth shall, you know, pass away first, not one dot nor tittle. So the laws are still there. Is the spirit weaker than the law? If we are to live in the spirit, is it weaker? Is it more milquetoast than the law that was set down? You see, this is what we got to be careful when we say we're to live by the spirit. Okay, now everybody says, well, Jesus says to love. Okay, is love weaker than the law? You know, if you go to 14:14 of John, it says, if you love me, obey my commandments. So that's got the word love in there. So we sit down and we look at all this and we say, if we're going to sin is what? It states it in, I think it's in 1 John, one of the letters of John, that sin is transgression of the law. So we're told not to sin. Okay, so now we know that sin is transgression of the law, so that means we have to be breaking a law. Now, Christianity today is a lot more milquetoast or weakened or milked down than it was, let's say, even 100 years ago. Or if you read about when you were in school, what they used to do to people that did things that were against the law. They put you in these things in your hand to stick out and they throw tomatoes at you. Things of that nature. What has happened is the enemy has gotten into our churches and basically took away the power or obediences of the law, just like they're trying to do to the Muslims, and they're having a hard time doing it, but they already did it to the Christians. Because at one time, we know the Christians were hated, they were killed, they were persecuted. Why? Because we had a law that we went by, and we obeyed that law. If you go back and check the Muslims, why a lot of the Muslims became that is because they were not allowed into the churches because they were a mixed breed people, and they wouldn't let them in. Doesn't say that they couldn't church together in Jesus' name or Yeshua's name outside, but they just couldn't gather with Israel. So the law is important because sin is the law. If you break the law, you are sinning. And of course, we know we have a sin nature. Acts 2:38, repent.
I think you have to, number one, be obedient to his laws. And the closer you can walk to that, then the more understanding you're going to get in a spiritual realm. Because, like I said, until 6 years ago, I had no understanding of this, what they call baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is actually of the set-apart spirit. But when a man laid his hands on me and prayed for me, I received this baptism of the Holy Spirit, which I believe was already there, but because the scripture says, stir up the gifts within you by laying on the hands of the apostles. So,
Explain to anyone listening what occurred to you when that took place. Just briefly, what occurred? What were you left with?
I was on my feet shouting. Mm-hmm. I've never done it before. Crying like a baby. I mean, you know, at my father's funeral, it's probably the only time I ever showed any kind of emotion. This overwhelming power within me, it just filled me. I felt like jumping over a building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just so overwhelming. And, you know, Paul asked Apollos, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He said, I have not so much as heard as there is such a thing as the Holy Ghost. He said, what were you baptized to? He said, John's baptism. So he had him be baptized again in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. Paul laid hands on him, and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Brother, when you received this baptism, did it become easier for you to follow the laws of Yahweh?
Well, I had already been so strict on the law that, I mean, I lost property because of usury. I walked away from $250,000 worth of property because I wouldn't pay the usury when I came into the truth of usury, that we're not supposed to pay any usury to anybody. So, anybody that has known me for years knows that I was very strict in the law already. I tell people all the time, if he says don't spit on the ground on Thursday, then don't spit on the ground on Thursday. He said it, I believe it, and that settles it. But when I got up to preach, I had a whole stack of books with me, and I was going to break.
Well, we have to call it an end, folks. We're coming up on another program, and we have to call it quits for this week. Come back next week for From the Hip. Will be during this hour, this two-hour slot from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific time on Remnant Radio Network. This really wasn't From the Hip this time. It was kind of got blended into something different. So, but we'll return with JT's program next week. Coming on next is Maintenance and Repair with Brave Feather. Thank you very much, both Pastor Greg and Gary, and join us again next week, please. Thank you.
God bless. Thank you.